Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody, on a Friday, Party Friday.
Party Friday.
It's Chuck Bonneville and Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show, grassroots show. And it's true straight up.
Posted by.
No matter what they say.
And what do they say?
I don't know.
Hey, the show is brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Coming up here, as soon as we can get her, is Lori Sain, former Weld County Commissioner, former state lawmaker, true grassroots warrior. She has an announcement to make. We will, of course, obviously go over. I don't know if you guys have seen all of the Trump, Zelensky, J.D. Vance. It's sort of a masterclass on how not to ask for billions of dollars. It's like
diplomacy at its worst.
Yeah. I don't know who.
I don't think it's ever been quite this.
No.
This is unique, I think.
When the president of the United States, when you're trying to get money from the president of the United States, and he's actually shouting at you in the Oval Office, and it's time.
Get out of the car, you dumbass.
It's time to back down. So we'll do that next week. We've got Lori Sain entering the waiting room. So we've got that to talk about. What else is there to talk about? Ukraine, obviously. Oh, General Flynn and the Epstein files. Obviously, the Zelensky stuff has pushed all the Epstein files out of the headlines anyway.
Right.
and also on Trump firing, being able to fire generals. So we have Lori there. Lori, if you want to go ahead and unmute yourself, we're ready for you. All right. So we wanted to welcome Lori Sain. And I'll just let you go ahead and do it. Lori Sain has grassroots.
Introduce yourself to the extent.
And then
everybody doesn't know it.
Everybody already knows you. And then you're announced.
All right. Well, I'm Lori Sain, and I am running for the state Colorado GOP chair position. And I've been asked by a lot of you. I'm very honored, and you were very persistent. But I'm running to return the Republican Party back to Republicans. And one of those ways is to close the primary. People probably remember this when we actually had all the statewide races and people flocked here for the prosperity those Republican principles generated. And as soon as party leaders turned away from the very principles that made Colorado great, people started leaving the party. They started turning to independents. And I believe the open primary has made that worse. I'm trying to get off coffee. It's not working. But it's made this worse. And I noticed, too, that the both parties have become worse under the open primary. The farther away you get from the people, the more likely you are not to be fearing the people and doing the work of somebody else, say somebody who's given you quite a bit of money to hit those independents to make sure that you can win the race.
Exactly.
Grassroots will not have that kind of funding generally. So I've just noticed that even the Democrat Party is spinning out of control. I think we've appointed 25% of our legislators just in the past maybe 4 years by a handful of people because so many people are quitting, usually due to pressure, threats. I've heard all kinds of things. We've actually had some pro-Second Amendment Democrat legislators that quickly decided to leave their party after voting correctly. So I think this is timely. This is needed. We need to bring the Republican Party back to the party of the people again. And that's one of the reasons I'm running to make sure that process will flow smoothly, to make sure that once we are functioning as a more professional organization, we also bring in more fundraising. And also I want to highlight President Trump's agenda, which is just tremendous. Almost every day we get some amazing news. And, you know, Colorado is a very unique state. I would like to maybe remessage that and repackage some of those things in a more Colorado way to, you know, reach some of our working families, to reach some of those persuadables as far as how is President Trump helping you and your family? And I think we can pull this off, quite honestly, even with divisive people who are going to maybe can, you know, I'll be hopeful here. I think we have some people in our party that will continue to fight no matter what. But I think we can work around those folks and keep moving so that we can keep moving our party forward. And I believe that we can also help our Senate and our House when they're doing something right. We can be right there alongside them and cheer them on and extend that out to the people for what we're doing in our own state of Colorado, in the Colorado State Legislature. Because it is hard being in the minority. You know, I've been there for 8 years in the Colorado House, right? It can be very trying and very difficult. So we need to help our party come together with the people who want to get things done and do things positively with America First principles first.
Okay. Well, and this is a good point to point out, too, that Dave Williams, the current Republican Party chair, announced today that he is not going to be seeking re-election. We kind of anticipate him getting a job with the Trump administration. He didn't say exactly what he was going to be doing, but we need to make that be clear, too. And let me also point out, we had earlier on the show earlier this week, Darcy Shaining, who is also announced for the chair position. And then we've had two rhinos who we adamantly oppose, Britta Horn and Kevin McCarney. And I want to kind of let you talk about this. One of the things I've noticed, I've heard Britta Horn in person. I've heard her waffle around and weasel her way around this whole, you know, the open primary situation. I think that people need to really understand that somebody like you is telling the truth. You're not weaseling about it. You're not saying one thing and this, you know, and then going around and saying something else. And that's, I think,
people need to know. I think people do have to understand that there is a divide in the Republican Party, and it's a principled divide. And I would say 60% of the party is what we call grassroots. And they want to have a Republican platform that reflects Republican values, whether it's pro-life, Second Amendment,
limited government, et cetera, et cetera.
The other half of the party says, well, no, you can't get elected doing Republican principles, so let's make ours semi-democratic principles. We need a big tent, which means that we need to get under the Democratic tent and be part of that. And that has been supported by the Bush Republican side of the party, featured most prominently by Phil Anschutz, who supplied a lot of the money. Britta Horn represents the Bush side of the party, although she'll waffle that and say she's pro-Trump, but she really isn't. So you really have a choice. And there was an article, I'm not sure, did you read the article in Colorado Times Recorder on your run?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think overall it was a good article, but it's unfortunate that Ms. Channing said some of those things.
I want to give you a chance.
She obviously doesn't know me very well, so.
I want to give you a chance. So people know what we're talking about. So Colorado Times Recorder, Jason Sossman, who, by the way, is like he's hired by Soros. George Soros pays for Jason Sossman to spew Democrat propaganda and attack Republicans. That's his job, basically, right? And so that's what that's, number one, people need to understand. Anything you read there, that's what they're trying to do. But yes, Darcy said some things, and I wanted to give you a chance, as much as you want to or don't want to respond to some of that.
Actually, I'm not going to spend much time defending myself. I'm just going to be moving forward with American First principles. Okay. I believe that my response will come in the form of my website as far as my accomplishments. So again, I just don't think she knows me very well, and it's unfortunate that she chose to lead that way. A lot of Republicans are moving away from that kind of leadership where it's divisive and quite frankly, untrue. So I also want to just point out, to be fair to Britta, she actually did support Trump back in 2016 during the state assembly. But it's back to what you mentioned is a matter of principle, though, returning the Republican Party back to its principles. And let's just point out that some of our very purple districts where Gabe Evans is and Jeff Hurd, they were flipped in part because of Trump. Because of the Trump wave just across this country, some of these purplish states actually went deep red. And Colorado only picked up a part of that wave. I think in part because of this infighting, because of what folks did to try to dislodge Dave a mere few months, it just dragged for months, right before General Assembly, who in the right mind would look at the Republican Party and say, I want to join that? They were coming out to vote for Trump. That's who they were coming out to vote for. And that swept, I think, and I'm not disparaging the candidates' efforts or anything like that. I've walked for two of those candidates. But it was obvious to me, just looking at what's going on across the country, we should have picked up more seats.
Okay.
I want to bring leadership that actually emphasizes what Trump is doing for the American people and keep on a positive messaging.
Well, there was no red wave in 2022, quite frankly. We lost seats in...
Nationally, you mean?
Nationally. And that's actually, there's no red wave in the seats in 2024 when Trump is running. So I'm not sure any of that is per se true, but as a practical matter, it's Trump's principles that are going to prevail. Those are the new Republican Party.
Right.
The party of average, middle class.
Common sense. And stuff that works.
No longer the managerial class or the very rich. The elites. It's the average, everyday workers. And that's, let's face it, that's what most people are. You know, if you're, there are very few billionaires around and very few in Colorado. But you represent that kind of working, hardworking core of the new hardworking core of the Republican Party. And I think that the state is going to start to shift, because how it shifted was kind of strange. Because, you know, I've watched Jefferson County go from red to blue. I've watched Arapahoe County go from red to blue. And why did it go from red to blue? It's because they have a lot of college graduates, a lot of people with advanced degrees, and those people have become Democrats. But I think they're going to start coming back, and I think you're going to start to see Colorado with those counties and others, because all of a sudden, even if you're the educated class, do you really believe in men competing in women's sports? I mean, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that we ought to castrate?
Democratic women, and what I'm saying is they don't agree with that either. A lot of them don't. And they might be quiet about it, but they don't agree with it.
Let me ask you this. One of the things I've thought, bizarrely, is that in a way it's almost good that Trump did not win in 2020, because the country had to see how bad things could get under the Democrats. And I look at Colorado and I wonder if maybe the same thing's going on. I mean, Colorado, we have the second, well, most of the country is having a decrease in violent crime. Colorado has had a 26% increase, higher than any other, right? Inflation is the highest in the country. You look at Mayor Johnson spending millions of dollars to defend a sanctuary city policies. Look what they're doing at the state capitol with the gun laws. I mean, I got to wonder and want to see how you can maybe take advantage of that if you were elected chair. You know, I mean, Colorado's going crazy under the Democrats, and I think people are seeing it.
Mm-hmm. And you make a good point on that. I've heard that, too, where people had to see how bad it was under Biden to really appreciate what Trump had started, and now he's finishing.
Yes.
In just an amazing way every single day. So I am very happy to, step forward at this time, just because just partying along with President Trump, regardless if I'm on the ground walking for him or calling or doing this position, is just a huge honor. And I'm so excited every single day to see what he's doing and seeing how that's affecting us for the better, just right-sizing government. You know, the bigger the government, the smaller the person. And people have felt very, very small in the last 4 years. More taxes, more government. And honestly, a lot of people are hanging on by their fingernails. We're going to see some of that prosperity rolling through if we haven't already, to be honest. I know that Colorado's might be a little heavy on the government side. I don't know if that's true of other states or not, but we're going to see that prosperity really moving forward with some of our small businesses in particular. And I look forward to a lot of these regulations being cut, taxes being cut, and other things that will affect the working class family immediately.
One of the things I wanted to ask you a little bit about your experience, because you know, you're in the legislature, you're in Weld County, so you, I think, have a pretty good grasp of what businesses. I mean, you know, we talked to you a lot of times in Weld County when you were the Weld County Commissioner about fights that people were having trying to just do their business, right, with some of the more rhino Weld County commissioners. And it seems to me that you have some excellent experience in terms of knowing what people really are feeling and what people really need, and not just how to talk about it, but how to help.
Right. And again, it's just being removed from the people. The nature of man is such that once you get some power, that's the real test of character, isn't it? And so it's back to what you do and not what you say. Any candidate running for chair, too, by the way, can say whatever they want. But the truth is, what have they done and what will they continue to do? So my voting record is a House champion with CUT, Colorado Union of Taxpayers, A plus for principles of liberty, very high with Liberty Scorecard and many others. And I continued that work in Weld County. So if there was a CUT score for Weld County, it'd be very high. I always voted against taxes. I was the only commissioner to do that, to increasing taxes or putting taxes on the ballot, growing government. I was usually a 4-to-1 vote, one being against either growing more government taxes, fees, et cetera. So I think we really need a new party that can articulate our values such that we are pulling people into the party. And I'm not talking about, you know, we can talk about unity all we want, but unity has been a stolen word. Unity to the other side of our party means get along, go along to get along, or
Right.
even, you know, sit down
With
and shut
Democrats.
up.
Yeah.
Well,
That's generally what they've used the word unity for. And, you know, that's not how I'm going to lead.
you got to be right in the middle of a county that sounds like it's conservative. It really became totally rhino.
That was after the open primaries. They no longer fear the people. And that's obvious by some of the business owners that have approached me and said, you know, they told me to get my business out or are going to call the DA on me. Somebody who's been operating there for 12 years without complaint and has all kinds of records with their industry on safety and everything else. And she, that particular business, by the way, hauled for our two largest industries in Weld County, which is agriculture and oil and gas. Kind of important.
Minor. Well, let me ask you this, Lori, because I know we've, you know, interviewed you and have followed you and for years. And you always are the fighter side, right? For you, you never you're at the legislature, you're fighting for the principles and the values. And Weld County, you were fighting. I mean, you've never had it. We're like, yay, Lori's saying, you know, I mean, she's. I'm trying to forget to say this right, that you've always had to fight for your principles and your beliefs, right? It's never been like you walk in and you're the majority, right? And
Right.
I know that can't be fun all the time. And so I have to say, what made you think, I know, you know, maybe I could open an ice cream store, or maybe I could run for COGOP chair.
Ironically, I have that choice, not ice cream, but other things. So it's an opportunity cost to be sure. But I, you know, just back to the principal thing, it's not an either-or proposition. You don't have to sacrifice principles to lead. And in fact, if you can hold firm on principles, you can make people come to you and have a better solution. That's what I found at the State House. We can make better solutions by adhering strictly to those principles of liberty and government, fiscal responsibility, personal responsibility, equal treatment under the law. Or rule of law, if you want to call it that, all those things that we say we believe in make better policy, and they also reflect basically that second most important commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. You know, we're loving our neighbor when we reduce the size of government, and it's going to be hard to translate to some people why that means that, but it means increased prosperity for everyone. It lifts all ships when we right size government into its proper role. Right.
The article on Times Reporter indicated that they saw the race, at least at this point, of you and Darcy being on one side of the divide and with Britta on the other. And I think that's maybe accurate. And so at some point, all of those people who really want a free, and this is one of my biggest gripes, It's not, they've taken the language and you lose your ticket. We don't want to close the primary. We want to free the primary from Democrats. So we can call it close and free the primary, but we gotta stop using the word close because
The tuck has
it's a
been
negative.
okay.
Well, I mean, it's how you lose elections.
Right.
If you don't control the language controls you. But she is for quote unquote open, which means destruction of the Republican primary.
Britta.
Yeah, Britta's for opening to destroy the Republican, at least the Republican aspect of the Republican primary. And the two of you will be fighting it out for those who want to free it. And hopefully whoever comes out the best will support the other at the time of the meeting on the 29th.
Yeah, that's my hope too, and hopefully, whoever's running, we can keep the fight on the Democrats and not on ourselves.
Right.
That would be the test of leadership people are looking for. So, hint, hint, right? And by the way, I get this question a lot, and I just want to double check with you. How controllable are you and Chuck?
Totally. But here's our main problem, Julie and I both have, is that nobody tries to bribe us. We're available. Available, everybody. It's just nobody cares. Bribe us, give us lots of money. Just somebody out there. We'll work for food.
I just want to make sure because I sometimes people ask me, can you control them? No, I've not attempted to control their free speech. They are their own entity, and if you really knew who they were.
I'm more reasonable than Chuck. Chuck, I can tell you right now, is absolutely not. And in fact,
I
Chuck,
am. Just buy me.
yeah.
Here I am. I'll put a board out for sale.
If
You
you
can
want, if
control
you
me.
want Chuck to do something,
Give me some money.
you have to tell them to do the opposite, right? It's like, so, all right. Well, listen, Lori, anything else you wanted to, sorry to have answered your question that way.
Well, this is why you're doing your own podcast, I'm assuming, right? So.
That's exactly. Oh yeah, God, we were kicked off with YouTube. It's like,
Kicked off everywhere.
yeah.
If this were like WWE of politics, this is it.
Yeah,
This is
exactly.
it. This is
Well,
absolutely it.
here's what I will say for us though, is what you see is what you get, and I think it's fair to say that we don't play games. If you want to know what we think, we'll tell you, right? And even if you don't want to know, we'll tell you.
And we'd appreciate if after the broadcast, if you could text us who those people were.
Dave Williams. It's like, just go down the list of people.
Are these people the ones who said that? Let us know.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, Lori, where can then, because I know there's going to be, it's a month before the Central Committee will be voting, and a lot of work to be done. And if people think these races do take effort and they do take volunteers
Or you won't win.
or they do take money, where can people find out more? I'm assuming you're setting up if you don't already a website, but how can people get hold of you?
Well, for right now, I have two accounts active on X and on Facebook. It's Lori for Freedom. And I'll be retooling those just a little bit. And then also I'll be sending out emails to the contacts I do have in the SEC. And I will have my website up by tomorrow. Well,
Great,
good for you. Well,
fantastic.
that's in its own way
That's
says
moving.
something about leadership because I know I've tried to start websites and it's like next year sometime at the one where it's like maybe we can do the next 6 months. It's like, oh, so I right, hey Lori, thank you for your time. Any
Yeah.
feel free to reach out anytime. Okay. And
Best of luck.
yep, appreciate it. Thank you. All
All right, thank you so much.
right, thank you there. Lori Sain, jumping into the GOP chair. If you're just joining us, she is a former Colorado legislator, former Weld County commissioner, great grassroots warrior. Dave Williams, if you're just joining us, announced today that he is not seeking re-election.
Right.
So there we go. There's that. And we'll keep in touch. It's as people come on
Yeah.
the show to let them say what they think.
Maybe if Britta wants to come on, she can come on.
Yeah, she probably won't mind. But anyway,
Well,
now let's move to other fun.
she'll get some tough questions.
Now that's come to well, Dr. Don says, thank you, Lori. Yes, thank you, Lori. Fun stuff. I don't know if you guys have seen, but we're going to play some of the video.
The
So,
greatest diplomatic sit down among leaders of different nations. I mean, this, you don't see this stuff.
So,
I mean, this is what, if you did a movie, a play movie, and had the leaders of two independent countries just bickering at each other, you go, that doesn't happen. These are set up way in front of time. Nobody goes off script. Yeah, they don't do that. Well, apparently they do.
Donald Trump and J.D. Vance met with Zelensky today, the president of Ukraine. As we all know, the Trump is trying to help broker a peace deal, and I think they wanted to bring Zelensky, and they've been talking to Zelensky. There's been problems earlier. I mean, Marco Rubio called him out, saying, "Hey, he told us they were willing to, and they were gonna that he told us one thing about the rare minerals treaty, and then he turned around and publicly said something else. He just flat out lied about it. So there has not been a lot of love lost, I think, between the US and Zelensky. Although we have given him, under Joe Biden, $350 billion, half of which Zelensky acknowledges he can't find. So you would think, if he's coming to the White House
Check
to
Nancy Pelosi's bank.
Yeah, if he's coming to the White House to try to, help negotiate a deal, he would be, I don't know, a little bit polite, a little bit nice. And from what I gather, we're going to play some clips, but to give you some context, because I've done some research, I didn't listen to the whole thing, but read a bunch of accounts. It started out fairly boring, as these kind of things always do, right? But then apparently Zelensky was the aggressor. I don't know who he's taking advice from, but Zelensky, when J.D. Vance and Donald Trump said, "Hey, look, maybe you shouldn't be calling Putin names. You are the teeny little country. We're the two giant superpower countries. You need money from us." He just started attacking J.D. Vance, and that did not go well. I think, to me, if you've got the president shouting at you in the White House, that's the time to take a chill pill. And Zelensky did not. So this is just crazy. If we want to, Thomas, if we could please play Trump number one. This is where Trump gets pissed.
Excuse me, that was with Obama, who gave you sheets and I gave you javelins.
Yes.
I gave you the javelins to take out all those tanks. Obama gave you sheets. In fact, the statement is Obama gave sheets and Trump gave javelins. You got to be more thankful, because let me tell you, you don't have the cards. With us, you have the cards. But without us, you don't have any cards.
It's like that was in response to Zelensky saying that they're in this alone. And Trump's like, $350 billion? What do you mean you're in this
Well, but
alone?
you do have to understand the two different viewpoints of it. As a practical matter, after the dissolution of the Soviet Union, Ukraine, all the Russians expected the United States and European countries to reach out and help them with the transition to capitalism. They figured they'd get some kind of Marshall Plan or get everything else. No, they got none of it. The U.S. State Department, under, I guess it was probably Clinton, said, we have to have an enemy, and
Yeah.
they are our enemy. We must do everything to destroy Russia, to break it apart. And we do that first by taking over all their allies, and putting them into NATO, so they're part of our war machine, as well as the economically through the EU. And at 2014, they actually had a fair election by all
In
accounts
Ukraine.
in Ukraine, and they elected Yushchenko, who is a pro-Russian president. And then,
Who the Bidens got rid of.
well, the Bidens got rid of, and Victoria Nuland was caught
The deep state.
on telephone calls going, no, you can have that person for mayor of Kiev, but you can't have this person. You go, and so really, the way that the Ukraine looks at it is that it's we're fighting Ukraine's war. We're fighting, sorry, I'm sorry, NATO's war. NATO incorporated us, got us to get away from Russia and everything else. And we're fighting your war, NATO, and we're doing all the dying. Yes, you're giving us money, but we're doing all the dying. On the other hand, from Trump's viewpoint, Russia is not the enemy. He does not see, he sees them as a competitor, but not the eternal enemy. And so when we pour money into Ukraine, we're doing a favor for Ukraine. We're doing something great for them.
Particularly after all this time, it'd be one thing if it was like a week, after the whole thing started. But now it's been years, and
Well,
$350 billion
they've lost a
later,
million.
which they've lost.
Well, but they lost 1 million people. And if you have to say, which would you
Right.
rather do, 350 million or 350 billion or 100 million? So they don't feel grateful.
Right.
I mean, they have to say it, but they say, we're fighting your war.
Yeah.
This is the war you wanted. And we got into it and we're dying. And you're saying, we gave you some money. And they go, screw you.
I think Zelensky, perhaps, but I think Zelensky has delusions of grandeur here and of his own importance. And I think what Trump is doing is trying to say, look, we need to end this, right? And Zelensky is like, no, I'm not going to end it. And he apparently talks out of both sides of his mouth. And then after Trump got pissed, like I said, you'd think if the president of the United States is taking it to you in the Oval Office, you would take a chill pill and say, okay, maybe I can go vent about this later. But he did not. So if we could, Thomas, please play Trump number two.
Your country is in big trouble.
Can I
Wait a
ask,
minute.
sir?
No, no.
Can
You've
I
done a
ask,
lot
sir?
of talking. Your country is in big trouble.
I know.
You're not
I
winning.
know.
You're not winning this.
I.
You have a damn
We
good chance of
are
coming out
staying,
okay because of
Mr.
us.
President. We are staying in our country, staying strong from the very beginning of the war. We've been alone, and we are thankful. I said thanks
you haven't
in
been
this
alone.
cabinet,
You
and
haven't
not
been
only
alone.
in this
We
cabinet.
gave you, through
I
this
said
stupid
thank you.
president, $350 billion.
You
We
voted
gave
for
you
your
military
president.
equipment,
You
and
voted
you
for
men
your
are brave, but
president.
they had to use our military.
So what about me
If
speaking?
you didn't
You
have our
invited
military
me.
equipment,
You invited
if you
me to
didn't
speak.
have our military equipment, this war would have been over in 2 weeks.
I mean, so again, you'd think at this point, once again, Zelensky, who's trying to get a deal with the United States, right, would and trying to be diplomatic, would be like, I'm like pissing these people off. Maybe I shouldn't do that. But he still doesn't get it. So if we could, Thomas, please play the J.D. Vance soundbite.
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you are
Mr.
not
President, Mr.
strong.
President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the President for
Have
trying
you
to
ever
bring an
been
end to this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine that you say what problems we have?
I have been to.
Come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems bringing people into your
No, do we
military?
have problems?
And do you think that it's
I will
respectful to
answer.
come to the Oval
I
Office of
will
the United
answer.
States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
A lot of questions. Let's start from the beginning.
Sure.
First of all, during the war, everybody has problems, even you. But you have nice ocean and don't feel now, but you will feel it in the future. God
You
bless,
don't know that.
God bless,
You don't
God
know that.
bless. You will
Don't,
not
you
have a
gotta,
war.
don't tell us what we're gonna feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're gonna feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because
I'm
you're in no
answering on this
position to
question.
dictate that.
That's
Remember
exactly what
this.
I'm not
You're in
dictating.
no position to dictate what we're gonna feel.
You
We're going
will
to feel very good.
feel
We're
influence.
going to feel very
I'm
good and very
telling you,
strong.
you will feel influence.
You're right now not in a very good position. You've allowed
From
yourself to be in a very
the
bad
very
position,
beginning
and
of
he
the
happens to
war,
be right
from
about
the
it.
very beginning of the
You're
war,
not in a good
Mr.
position.
I
You don't
was
have the cards right now. With us, you start
I'm
having
not playing
cards, but right
cards.
now you
I'm
don't. Yeah,
very
you're playing
serious,
cards.
Mr. President.
You're
I'm
playing
very
cards.
serious.
You're
I'm
gambling
the
with the
president of
lives
the
of
war.
millions of people.
You think
You're gambling with World War III.
What do you
You're
think about?
gambling with
What do you think
World
about?
War III. And
You,
what you're doing is very disrespectful to the country, this country.
I'm
It's
with all
back to you,
respect to your
far
words.
more than a lot of people
I'm
said
wearing
they
respect.
should have.
Have you said thank you once?
A lot of times,
In this
even
entire meeting,
today,
you said thank
even
you.
today.
You went to Pennsylvania and campaigned for the opposition in October. Offer some words of appreciation for the United
What
States
are
of
you speaking
America
about?
and the president who's trying to save your country.
It's like things did not go well. So then they kicked him out. They didn't have the scheduled press conference. And according to Trump, they asked him to leave,
Yeah.
right? They said, can you imagine that being the poor Ukrainian ambassador? You're just like, oh God.
That picture we're going, oh no.
Yeah. And so
This is not working
in
out.
the meantime, that's what's happened. So now what's happened is members of Ukrainian parliament are calling for an emergency session to hold an impeachment hearing against Zelensky, because it's like, that is not helpful, dude. And meanwhile, Marco Rubio terminated more U.S. aid money, the millions of dollars that were going to support Ukraine's power grid. It's like, I don't know what Zelensky thought he was going to accomplish, but this is interesting. Even Lindsey Graham, who is, I think, probably been part of the
biggest warmonger out there,
he's like, nope, Zelensky is, well, he said, I don't think we can work with Zelensky anymore. Zelensky needs to resign. If we could please play, Thomas, the Lindsey Graham soundbite.
Somebody asked me, am I embarrassed about Trump? I have never been more proud of the president. I was very proud of J.D. Vance standing up for our country. We want to be helpful. What I saw in the Oval Office was disrespectful, and I don't know if we can ever do business with Zelensky again. I think most Americans saw a guy that they would not want to go in business with. The way he handled the meeting, the way he confronted the president, was just over the top. So I think the relationship between Ukraine and America is important, vitally important. But can Zelensky do a deal with the United States? After what I saw, I don't know.
And Trump himself then put out some statements on Truth Social, and that then we were on X, saying, you can't work with this guy, right? It's like it's clear that with this kind of attitude, he doesn't want peace. So basically, there's no more point in talking to him. So if Zelensky thought he was cut out of things before, he's really cut out now. And I imagine if you're Donald Trump, you hold the purse strings, right? Now, Europe, they might get all the Twitter and go, but they don't have the money either, right? So, I mean, Zelensky.
Well, I can tell you, Germany doesn't. And so the other countries who are all griping about increasing their quote unquote defense budgets to 2%, Germany is going, we got to get rid of our debt limit because we want to spend all this money. Because we've spent it all in Ukraine.
Right.
And so, I mean, as it stands now, Russia's going, okay, when's the ground dry up? This is almost March. We've got a month. And then it's going to...
Well, and if everything's... all the money starts going away. And that's... This is... Now, maybe
it's
all...
No, I mean, really, the war is run from NATO. NATO determines the targets. It determines all the strategies. It determines... most everything. There are exceptions to that. I think the Kursk invasion was not done by NATO. But generally speaking, they're off in safe places in Germany, making the planning and setting things.
They're not in the front line.
They're not in a bunker somewhere, hoping they don't have a bomb dropped on top of them.
Well, I think after this, and maybe I'm being kind of cynical, not kind of, very cynical, even guys like Lindsey Graham, they're like, Zelensky, you are screwing the pooch on the gravy train here. It's like, we need this gravy train to keep rolling. And you need to be saying whatever you need to say to keep that rolling. And if you're not going to do it, then we're going to get somebody else. And you've lost Lindsey Graham, yeah. I think. And Europe has been kind of quiet. There's some applause from the left, but I think Zelensky's behavior there was just weird. I mean, it was particularly, again, number one, he's coming to ask for help. Number two, it's like, this is a president of the United States. At the very least, if you don't like him, that's okay. But you're polite, right? Don't you think? I mean, I've never seen anything like that. Have you?
Well, no, I've not. But what I don't understand, even from Trump's side, what was this supposed to be? I mean, hadn't they all agreed on what they're going to say?
Well, like
more or less.
I think they had, and then Zelensky went off the rails and got out, started attacking J.D. Vance, and that's when Trump saying we're doing it alone and you owe us and blah, blah, blah. And I think
from their viewpoint, they do.
Right, but that was not part of the script.
No,
right?
No, that was not part. And even though that's their point of view, and maybe a valid one, it's the wrong place to bring it up.
Yeah. Yeah, like Charlene says, interesting that Graham had a sudden change of heart. Oh, and then she says, and actually this segues into something else we wanted to talk about. I wonder if Graham was on the Epstein list. So one thing this did do,
guarantee you, if there's one person who was not on the Epstein
yeah, that's
list,
right.
It's Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham has not spent his career, and he's unmarried, looking out for attractive young women. That is not what Lindsey Graham is attracted to.
But I think, though, this did sort of knock the Epstein list out of the news cycle. But here's what I think. Chuck and I, disagree a little bit on this.
Yeah.
So yesterday, They were going to release a bunch of Epstein files. They did. They released them to some select influencers, and it was kind of nothing. And then Pam Bondi sent the scathing letter, and Cash Patel's responding, saying the FBI agents lied to her, told her they gave her everything, and then they clearly didn't. Couple things going on here. I think that the influencers, what you're seeing in the media with the criticism and the Epstein list of big nothing, that's coming from people who weren't the 16 handpicked people to get the binders. That's just other media people being pissy, I think, and saying, ha ha, there was nothing there, you know, and because Pam Bondi, they put it up within hours on the internet.
That's a bad look.
I think that could have been handled better, but this is what I think Pam Bondi was doing. I think Pam Bondi absolutely knew that they didn't give her everything, but she had to let them lie and essentially obstruct justice, as Greg Jarrett explained, in order to go after them. If she pushed for them to give it ahead of time, then they would have been cooperative and she couldn't get rid of them. So I think she was giving them enough rope to hang themselves, and that she absolutely knew that these 200 pay. I mean, the Epstein files, I actually don't think there's going to, in the end, be very much in them that we don't know. Because, I mean, the court, there's been...
there weren't tons of documents that described everything. Right. They've long been hit the shredder.
Right. That's been long gone. And this case has been
in
the courts.
On the JFK files.
Yeah, you've got files in Florida. You've got files...
Well, yeah, you pointed out to me, and I thought it was a great point out, the Flynn thing. Flynn said, oh, no, let me explain to you. Here are the offices. Here's the, you know, the Sentinel one that they send it to. Here's the secret one they do when they want to keep it secret. And here's the super secret one when they don't want anybody to know. And you got to go down to Miami. You got to go here. What they did is say, okay, give her 200 pages. They didn't think she's going to be fooled by that. So now they'll give her 2,000 pages, 200,000, 2 million pages. But they only need is the one where we're kind of like, okay, look, Mossad, we'll all share the dirt we get on all these powerful people. And we all can use it against them. That's what I think is, you know, who cares about who were the Johns for Pedo Island? I mean, I don't care any more than I care about the victims. They're all victims. They're all sex workers victims. I guess so, according to Pam Bondi.
See,
but I don't care either about the Johns or the sex workers. What I care about is what was, in fact, Epstein up to. And he clearly was Mossad. We always... Undoubtedly, it's also an FBI
informant.
And it's the FBI now doing what they did under Hoover. They have all these famous people who they have now have, hey, we got the video of you and little Miss Daisy.
See, and I think, again, that yes, I think it's clear. Well, and again, because a while ago I did some deep diving into this. There, in the Florida cases, right, there was, I think, a deposition or maybe just questioning of Epstein where it was clearly being implied that he was an FBI informant of some form at some degree. And so I think that's what the FBI is hiding. But I think rather than...
Do you hear a voice out there?
Well, Charlene...
Julie, can I just say this? You know, Elon Musk said, you know, it's like you get a new boss and then everybody tries to roll the new boss on the first day or two. And so, but they've probably been slowing down these hearings so that they could, you know, clean up everything without it being obvious that they've cleaned it up. But it's interesting that Graham was all in support of Pam Bondi. And so Trump they may be trying to flush out Pam Bondi too. You know, they may be trying to figure out if she's really going to get to the bottom of things. But I feel like, you know, the FBI is just trying to roll Pam Bondi right now. And then also they could just be, you know, doing this in phases and using all this leverage that, you know, whichever uniparty is on that list.
Yeah.
Have leverage. They're going to say, hey, you're on this list. So, you know, are you going to vote with us? I mean, Trump would be foolish not to use that kind of leverage. And that's why I'm just thinking, you know, there's a lot more blackmail than just Epstein Island. You know, he was involved in lots of stuff. And so, you know, Graham could have been, you know, right there with him on a lot of other things that we don't know about.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm thinking that Graham turned on a dime, because it wasn't 2 days ago that he was applauding Zelensky at a breakfast. And you know, and now he's just completely, and he's the first one to say something. So
maybe.
I think this whole thing was
kind of
staged at the White House, you know, to give Graham the cover. to say, okay, I'm off of Zelensky now.
You never know. No, Jonathan, you're right. I mean, it could all be entangled. You're right. I mean, I'm sure there are wheels within wheels within wheels with this kind of stuff.
Right. And you know what I'm saying? People are saying like, oh, well, Trump didn't do what he said. You know, it's like Trump is, it's like the Titanic is like on its side. And right. He's trying to straighten it up. I mean, it's like we were just gone as a country.
I think that that might have been him not doing what he said. I mean, then not releasing the whole thing. Again, I think that might have been strategic on Pam Bondi's part. She needed the FBI agents to commit the crime. She needed them to lie to her. And now she's after him.
Yes, there's so many. And, you know, and like, I'm just thankful today I'm looking up at a clear sky and I'm like, it's not cloudy. And I'm like, JFK, he's doing his thing. He's saying, you know, no more chemtrails. I mean, there's so much to undo that's been done to this country. And I'm sticking with Trump all the way. I mean, it's all right to be a little disappointed in this. But, you know, I think this is just, you know, long term strategy. And that's what I'm hoping for anyway.
I agree, Charlene. Nope, I agree. I agree. And I think, you know, Chuck, thank you, Charlene. Like you said, I think, you know, they're the Mossad people, that whatever the FBI, you know, they were using the informant and Epstein. And they've got a lot of covering to do. I would also suspect that there is no memo from like Jim Comey to Jeffrey Epstein saying, hey, we need you to have, you know, Bill Clinton have sex with the 14-year-olds or blah, 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 right? I mean, there's no, and if there was, it's been long gone. The Epstein files, I suspect there are plenty of people within the Department of Justice and probably even the FBI, who pretty much know absolutely everything that's in it. This is not a new investigation.
They're going to find the one where they go, when do we kill Epstein? Well, we've got the camera down. We got all this down.
There will be enough in the files for people who know how to look at it that you can connect, no like absolute proof, but you can connect the dots. And I think it will reveal what you said, that the FBI was, I mean, it's been doing it since J. Edgar Hoover, right? Gathering information for power and deciding how to use that power for the benefit of the people in the FBI, don't you think?
Sure.
Okay. So I think more will come out on that. It's going to come out, right? Pam Bondi said, give me the files. Pay attention to who's griping about it. And some of the people who are griping about it are the people who were not chosen to receive it initially. And that's not uncommon in the media for the people who weren't the chosen ones to attack the other chosen ones and attack sort of the message and the
messenger.
That's
how you get to be one of the chosen ones.
Right, exactly. Well, and, you know, and reading through these files, this is, I mean, even when they get it, that's no easy deal. You have to know what, particularly because even what we saw there doesn't appear to be in any kind of order. There's no context, right? So.
All right, we got one in. Where is our Friday party funny?
I did not have a Friday party funny day. It was busy. It was too busy. I was too busy pulling all the Trump Zelensky stuff. That's pretty funny in and of itself, too. Well, so, you know, what do you think happens from now on? I mean, I don't think Trump is going to be like, oh, well, that was worth a shot, but no, forget it, right?
From here, it just gets worse. I mean,
particularly for Zelensky.
Particularly for Ukraine. And are they going to get rid of Zelensky? Then do we have to give him another $350 billion, another new guy? I mean,
no, I think Trump's made it pretty clear. There's not going to be a ton of money, right? And another thing, I mean, all of the USAID money is being cut off, right? And that's where a lot of it was coming. I mean, a huge amount
went to the Ukraine.
Was coming from.
Free press.
In the meantime, you've got other people who may be trying to salvage, because doesn't BlackRock have a contract to rebuild Ukraine?
Oh, probably.
So they don't want to get screwed out of that. So maybe some of the people who have been pushing.
Who's going to pay for BlackRock to?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're like, let's quit destroying it and let's start.
That's a lot, you know, the amount of building, you know, you see those pictures of the towns that are liberated or conquered and there's nothing left.
But what I mean, though,
there's nothing left.
I'm wondering if all of the people who have been supporting Zelensky because they were making money now realize that there's more money to be made, or at least some money to be made, by abandoning him. Right. I have a feeling that Zelensky particularly, I mean, clearly he misread the room there and was not in a position to misread the room. And again, I think it's like, you know, you watch on the social media, people are like, that's what we elected Trump to do. Right.
Well, so sure we elected him to do that. But
well, to not take any crap off of anybody, perhaps give the this is from Dr. Donna. Yes. Time to quit destroying, start rebuilding. Dr. Donna says, perhaps give the new guy a tin cup. Surely they had some corners left after attempting to destroy this country can stand on. We run out of time for this. We want to talk about the firing of the generals. Obviously, I look at
We'll do that Monday.
On Monday, we're going to have Sally Pipes on. She's a national author who's going to be talking about how DEI is destroying universities and things like that, too, and how great it is that Trump is getting rid of it. And also, we're going to have the COGOP Vice Chair Hope Shoppelman on, too, who may have an announcement. So you want to tune in for Monday for that. And maybe I'll try to find a funny Party Monday video.
That'd be great. And all of you out there, we're being honest and forthright and very direct. Anybody with any money can buy us. And we can even be bought cheap. I mean, we're not greedy, you know, a mill. What's a million. No, I mean, a mill is nothing these days. So we're not greedy. A mill or two.
Hey, listen, that'll do it. Thank you to everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
PBS, we'll see you Monday.